Welcome to Check Six Radio, the paranormal show that has your back, with your hosts, Dean Blackstone and Jeremy Cox. Check Six Paranormal Radio Network.
I'd like to welcome to our show today Aerial Phenomena and our special guest about ufology. He's an expert on the subject, Antonio Paris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to thank you for having me on the show, and it's my honor to be here. Thanks.
Absolutely, and we're honored to have you here, especially for the debut. It's great having a well-known name like you on the show.
That's right. It's October 31st. It's Halloween. We'd like to send a shout-out to all of our Twitter followers, and I'm sure Aerial Phenomena, the same thing. He's got a massive amount of people that follow him on Twitter and other social network pages that he has. His website is also a phenomena all in itself. So happy Halloween, and let's get right to talking UFOs.
All right. So I got a question for you here, Antonio.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
You are founder and director of Aerial Phenomena, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, can you give me a little history on that? Like, I know you have a background working with the government and whatnot. You want to give me, like, a little overview of that? And then maybe give me an example or tell me exactly how you started Aerial Phenomena.
Okay, so my background is pretty much for almost a decade. I was a counterintelligence officer for both the U.S. Army and for the Department of Defense here at the Pentagon. And the primary duties that I conducted there was to conduct investigations on individuals that were conducting espionage on behalf of a foreign power. While at the Pentagon, I was assigned to what they call the Cold Case Squad, and that was because we knew there was espionage activity going on, but we did not have the identity of the subject, hence the cold case squad. And we had many cold cases that were open all the way from the Cold War to present. And that's what I did, pretty much. And it was during grad school in 2004-2005 that, while I was studying space studies, that I decided to become a UFO investigator. And what I did was I converged the skills I acquired as a federal agent with my education in planetary science and approached the UFO phenomena from those two perspectives. But what I did initially for 12 months was I went around and attended local UFO conferences to try to get a grasp of the phenomena. And people were telling me, hey, you could just join this UFO organization and become an investigator. And I tried that, and I just was not, I wasn't feeling it. A lot of these UFO organizations were old. They were still talking about things like Roswell, etc. And a year later, I recruited like-minded individuals. And this is where we're at. You know, Aerial Phenomena is gaining pretty good attention worldwide. We've already done over 100 investigations. We have a book coming out called Aerial Phenomena. We've done several documentaries, and we hope to continue expanding and growing.
Right, and your book is out already, and people can find out more information at aerial-phenomenon.org.
Check Six Paranormal, this is Jeremy Cox, wishing everyone a happy Halloween. This is our debut show. The first ever Check Six Paranormal radio broadcast or internet broadcast. So we're going to jump right in here. We have Antonio Paris of Aerial Phenomena with us today, and we've already got his credentials. And let's see if I can get a interesting question here. Now, you have basically built Aerial Phenomena from the ground up, and I have a specific question for you. I was searching on your website the other day, and I saw that you have a investigation pending where there was a man who claimed that he had been abducted by aliens and received an implant in his forearm. Could you tell us anything about that?
Sure.
Sure, that's one of our local cases out of Baltimore, and the alleged story is he contacted us and said that he was in Ocean City, Maryland, and woke up mid-dream to find an object that was protruding from his arm. And prior to that, he was telling us he was having dreams about being abducted by aliens. And so what he told us was that he took the object out of his arm, and he was gonna flush it down the toilet, but he felt something told him that he couldn't do that. So what he did was he took the object and he put it in a Ziploc bag and went to bed. And the next day he woke up, the object was missing. Not only missing, but it appeared to have had melted through the bag. So he contacted us, and we took the report. Four of us went over there and did the witness interview. He gave us sketches of the alleged aliens that he was having dreams about. Unfortunately, the object was missing. We just had the Ziploc bag with the burn mark. But you know, at this point, it's a story. We have no physical evidence. You know, I've been doing interviews for a very long time, whether they were espionage investigations and UFO investigations, and I can, you know, unless he's a really good hoaxer, I believe this story. He was shaken, you know, at the time. He was scared when he was talking to us. It didn't appear like he was trying to hoax us. He's not looking for fame. He's not looking for attention. So,
right.
You know,
so
we don't know
what you're saying. So what you're saying is, with your extensive background in interviews and research into basically dealing with people, is that you have experience in reading people to determine whether or not they're hiding something or if they're faking something, and you didn't see any of this in this.
No, I didn't see that, and more importantly, we have an investigative process, and in that investigative process is a questionnaire that specifically outlined to ask specific questions to determine whether or not the person is being truthful. And a lot of that is asking the same question more than once, but in kind of different way, and to see how their response is. Yeah, I've done interviews, UFO investigations, where I knew the person was hiding something, or they weren't being truthful, or I could tell it was a hoax. For this case in and itself, I believe the guy. Unfortunately, we just don't have any proof. We did
right.
take a radiation test of the bag. It gave us a very little spike, but we can't prove that that's extraterrestrial. That could have been anything. That could have been
right.
a cosmic ray or somebody turning on a TV or something. But
right, and I saw that outlined on your report. It seems that I saw that you tested it two or three times, and only one of those times did you get the spike in radiation, correct?
Exactly. But, you know, I write it down because it's what I got at the time.
Right.
Never get the reading again. He did have a scar in his arm, but I can't contribute. I can't say, okay, that was extraterrestrial.
Right. I mean, it's just a scar. As far as, you know, without the actual piece that was protruding, all you really know is that he was cut there at some point.
Yep, exactly.
So
we're about to close that case. We should have the report up there. Paul Carr, who's my lead scientist, he got dozens of Ziploc bags and tried to replicate using different objects. How an object can melt through, what was the heat temperature that would require to make that little hole. He's done a lot of different experiments to try to replicate the process, and his report's done, and we'll see that soon.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I look forward to reading that.
Sure.
All right, so another question for you I've got. I know you talked about how a lot of these UFO conventions, they were semi-unprofessional. A lot of elderly people who believed in this kind of thing would like to argue about Roswell and other big incidents. I want to bring it forward a little bit. Now, do you have any information on the Phoenix Lights phenomena? 1997.
I do not have any, you know, there's different stories behind the Phoenix Lights. People say that it was, some people buy the Air Force's excuse that it was flares. Others allege that it was experimental aircraft, giant triangles. And then the others believe that it was extraterrestrial. Or research that I've done, again, there is no proof that it was extraterrestrial. And I can't prove otherwise that it was man-made object. What I cannot disprove is that people did see something that night. Cannot call it mass hysteria. You cannot call it a giant hoax. When you've got hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who saw these strange lights in the sky. So till this day, it's unidentified. My personal belief, I would probably lean towards more it was man-made. If you go on my website, you'll see crafts that are so huge and in kind of triangular shape. I'm not saying that's what it is, but my point being is that,
it's a possibility.
In aerial technology is skyrocketed in the last 20, 30 years, and we just don't know what our government's flying up there.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's probably a lot of, you know, if you saw my documentary on Area 51, the government is doing stuff there for our good, for national security. They're building these high-speed aircrafts for one purpose, and that's to defend this nation. And it's classified. We have no right to know. You know, people are fighting. Well, we need to know what's going on in Area 51. No, we don't. That's classified, and it's classified for a reason. And people ask, why? On bases. Well, that's to keep satellites and Chinese satellites from flying over and snapping pictures of what we're doing.
I've always really had this theory that since the Roswell thing happened, that you know, Area 51 was at the time a top secret Air Force base, but it kind of gained not only national but international attention, and I've noticed a lot of things I would assume have really shifted to other less known Air Force bases. And I mean if I were in government and I was in charge of it, once you get that kind of popularity, you know, you kind of want to uphold your image, but there would be no reason to keep those incredibly, you know, confidential or top secret things there, and you would want to move things to other Air Force bases that are farther located out in the boonies, so to say. Like Hellstrom is out here in Montana, Hellstrom Air Force Base, and a lot of these Air Force bases, especially the ones with nuclear technologies, have had a lot of interference with what comes with unidentified flying objects.
There must be dozens of not only military bases, but defense contractor locations that are doing these testings of specifically like drones, for example. That's like the hot topic right now. You know, people say Wright Patterson Air Force Base is the new Area 51. The Naval Patuxent Naval Station here in Maryland, so conducting these classified projects, and you know, if you look at Maryland, for example, we have a lot of black triangle activity.
Right.
But if you saw the news a couple months ago about the UFO that was brought down the Beltway, which was drone, by the way. So as competition increases, when I'm talking about defense contractors, you know, everybody's dying for that big, a lot of locations that were not known, see a lot of now. I mean, we see a lot of black triangle activities up in Seattle, where we know has a huge base up there. We see a lot of activity out of California too. As far as Area 51, that's kind of died down. There's not a whole lot of activity there going on. Texas,
right.
Gets a lot of strange objects. Ohio, Canada. Canada is just huge. I'm looking into Canada. And what's going on up there as far as black triangles, and of course Maryland as well. So I expect to say yes, there's other bases out there where they're conducting these classified projects. It could be related to extraterrestrial, you know, reverse engineering, etc.
Well, you know, I got to jump in here. This is Dean. It's interesting you bring up the black triangles, because that seems to be catching on. It's a fad with it, and it's probably more than likely military. I think the first time I ever seen a black triangle with bay doors open up and something fall out and fly away, I was a child in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, right around in there. So I've actually seen one of these type of craft myself, personally. And I, at the time, was really scared whenever it went over the house because it was so gigantic. But looking back on that sighting, even that far back, I know that it had to be military. It wasn't extraterrestrial. I just don't see ET having, you know, bomb bay doors type doors opening up at the bottom of an aircraft. It could have been a dirigible or who knows what. But so, you know, I've been pretty skeptical, you know, about UFOs my entire life, basically. But I've seen some crazy things. I've seen a drone here recently. I could imagine if somebody was standing in their yard and seen what I seen, and it just so happened I was at Jeremy's residence and he seen it with me. The sound of it's kind of like a motorcycle. It was very, very low flying. It didn't have the regular indicators. It was obviously a drone. There was no doubt about it. And there's a lot of them in the sky right now. So that's to be expected and cause some hysteria. But the fact of the matter is, is there a chance, and if you could put a number on that chance, that there is extraterrestrial life and or aliens visiting planet Earth, what do you think that percentage is?
I would probably say 5%. Less than 5%. And even with that 5%, we don't have that physical evidence. And I like to use my law enforcement background, things like proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Nobody has the evidence to sit in front of a courtroom and say, here it is, guys. Here is the proof. And we just don't have that. I hope to find that.
Antonio, is that because the proof isn't there, or is it because, and here it comes, because of cover-ups?
I don't know. I don't like to entertain conspiracies. I don't like to entertain, you know, government cover-ups and things like that. There's a lot of reports out that the government does have a crashed object that was of non-terrestrial origin. But when I look at those stories, you know, Roswell, another similar alleged crashes, you'd think by now, 60, 70, 80, 100 years later, that should have probably leaked out by now, or someone other than a deathbed confession would have came forward.
Well, you broke on your Twitter feed about a UK hacker that supposedly got into the CIA's one of their, you know, computers or a set of a database somewhere, and he's claiming that he retrieved information on basically how did it word it, Antonio? Non-terrestrial officers.
Said there was photos of UFOs, alien UFOs, he used specifically, and a group that were called non-terrestrial officers. I don't know, but I'm assuming it's like Men in Black or something. But it was, you know, didn't get any attention. It was like on Fox News for 30 seconds, and I Googled it, and apparently it seems more political. The British have him in custody, but they won't extradite the U.S. For unknown reasons. I do not know why. But I Googled him a couple times today, and not even a couple hours ago, and there's not much on him, so I kind of dismissed the story.
Right, he was suicidal anyway. The credibility there is gone. But, you know, it's just interesting. You know, there's a lot of interesting things. Here's another interesting aspect. How would you respond to a rumor that Antonio Paris himself is the modern-day 2012 face of Project Blue Book?
I don't know. I guess it would be an honor to be that, but... Yeah, I thought that would be cool. I've even been labeled Antonio's a man in black. He's debunking everything. And that's true. You know, I look at the investigations, and you know, Parker tell you probably about the same thing, that we just don't have any evidence. There's a lot of good stories. On occasion, you have a credible witness, whether it's a police officer or a pilot. But even if you notice now, we don't even get any really good photos anymore. You know, a lot of people just sketch. And you would think with 7 million people walking around with cell phones, you have at least a good photo. I just wanted to go back a minute, what you said a few minutes ago about the black triangles. And a lot of that is man-made objects and how we perceive those objects. When you look at World War II, a lot of sightings were the saucers. And if you look at what we were doing back then, a lot of the aircrafts we did looked like saucers. And then there was the wave of the boomerangs. And then now it's the wave of the black triangle. So as advancements in aerial technology move forward, so do these UFO reports as well.
Well, I've got a question for you. I've uncovered absolute, definite proof, hard evidence, that not just the government here in the U.S., but governments around the world are extremely interested in technology that's being dubbed as alien. For example, crop circles are frequently debunked as man-made, and I personally believe they are mostly, probably maybe close to all of them. But there are some crop circles in their design that seem to be mathematical. And some people have actually conducted experiments based on those mathematics, where they've either built a type of craft or they've done some kind of experiment, and it's yielded pretty startling results. And that those people that have done that have actually been investigated by every single branch that you could possibly think of. And I know this to be a fact. It's not something that I just am conjecturing here. I know it to be a fact. One person was investigated by everybody, including even the Department of Treasury looked into them. And the only reason that would probably happen with that person is for funding purposes, to either copy or use the technology in an experiment and to fund that. Also, the same person had people visiting, not only from just about every branch of the military, clandestine and your basic bases, but he was also being looked at from governments all around the world, from China to the Middle East to all over Europe and Asia. So the only people that were even interested in this guy were government facilities and government organizations. Nobody else was even paying any attention to his information that he had posted on his website. So there's definitely an interest, not just from the U.S. government, but from governments around the world, even if a guy's claiming, I've made something based on a crop circle. How do you react to that?
Yeah, I would say if I was the U.S. government and somebody did cross that, or let's say we did have, evidence of extraterrestrial life, whether it's a saucer or an alien, whatever, and obviously if we were reverse engineered that stuff, that would be something that we would keep close hold. More importantly, we would want to keep that technology away from our adversaries to maintain that competitive edge in national security. I would love to see that stuff. That's what I want. That's my goal. My goal is not to whisk away every investigation that we get as a nut job or somebody that's just crazy. I didn't stand up aerial phenomena investigations team to debunk everything. My goal is to investigate, to educate the people. What are UFOs? What aren't UFOs? And three is to find that proof. Not just stories, not just internet blogs, not just newspaper clippings of somebody who allegedly found something and then they disappeared. I want that in my hand. Not just a piece of paper, but that I want to go into a courtroom and say, and argue with the jury and say, yes, here it is. And not just at the end of the day, Antonio just has a story,
Right. I think we get what you're saying. You want to be able to hand it and say, there's no way that you can deny this. And that's a very, very reasonable and admirable aspect of your investigation style.
We did that on purpose. We set the burden of proof in my team very high, and And that's so that when we approach these cases or these stories, we don't go down these rabbit holes. We're not derailed.
But I do have hard evidence of government interest in technology derived from crop circles. And specifically a tetrahedron that was created by something or someone at Barbary Castle in England. Now, I know that you're really well connected in the UK. The UK seems to have probably the best cases of what I would deem a reputable crop circle creation by something other than man, it would appear, because the types of ways that the grain is laid down with the bulbs close to the root system there, the way that they're exploded by microwave, there's traces of radiation. There are certain things with certain crop circles that are different and separate them from the majority, which is almost all of them. But there are some that do appear to be pretty legitimate or at least mysterious and a phenomena. So I'm very concerned about that aspect because that would show that something is trying to communicate. It's either from this planet or it's from not from this planet. What has the technology to be able to create something on that large of a scale in a field?
Yeah.
What can do that?
We don't know. And my goal is when we get a crop circle, you know, here in Maryland or Virginia, gotten a few. We went out there. It wasn't much. I don't know what it is. It's unidentified. I agree with you. The UK and other international countries, they're more open to this, whereas here in America, it's like a closed issue. You know, it doesn't exist. Nobody talks about it. We're not hiding anything. You're a nut job. And that's why I've expanded to my buddies in the UK, because the government over there sees it a little differently. They think there's something that's going on, and we don't know what it is. I like reading about these crop circles on how it's impossible for, you know, man-made technology to do that. There's been traces of radiation. The way the patterns are on these crop circles, they would be impossible to do, you know, within 24 hours or overnight. I don't know what it is, and because I don't know what it is, I won't lean to the conclusion that it's from a different planet. You know, people have gone as far as saying, well, it could be interdimensional beings, it could be paranormal, it could be anything. And, you know, I like to read those stories too, but as an investigator, I can't speculate.
Right. Well, my experience is personal. It's not something that I read. I actually lived through a situation, and that's how I was, you know, I mean, it was a personal thing. As far as gathering the data and information on who was visiting the website for how long, and I actually watched these visitations spread by IP, you know, basically pinging every time someone within a military installation emailed it to someone else and they clicked on the link in their email, it would send out basically a breadcrumb, and I could actually follow the spread of interest. Nobody was interested in this technology. Nobody was interested in the person other than a handful of scientists, and that was it. There's no IPs pinging from anywhere else except from one Air Force base, one military installation to another, from whether it be Central Intelligence, the FBI, the Department of Treasury, the Department of Defense, Boeing, NASA, you name it, they were there. They were interested, along with every other government that you could put a pin on the world globe. So why the interest? Why the interest in technology derived from a crop circle? If it's just bogus, if it's just craziness, why would NASA, why would Boeing, the Department of Defense, who you've worked for, why would they be interested in that kind of technology? That's the question.
Question, and that's something, you know, I definitely would want to attack. I don't know why. Is it something new to them, or is it something that they've always known? Is it a threat to them? Maybe that's why it's an interest. Is it a foreign threat? Is it a non-foreign threat?
Well, if it's a threat, it would be nice to know from the government that we support. I'm very patriotic. I support our government. And I tell you what, it would be nice to know if it was a threat that the public could be told, look, it's a threat, don't question it. Then we could all say, you know, okay, well, we're not crazy. A lot of people can relax and say, look, the government's taking care of us. They're on top of this. It's called disclosure.
Sure, yeah, and I support disclosure.
It doesn't have to be full disclosure. It's just a recognition that, hey, there is some things going on that the general public, you're not a bunch of crazies. There is something there. Now, if I hadn't have uncovered that evidence with my own eyes and seen how it played out, and I mean it played out over days, and you could see it spread like a virus from one side of the country to the other, from Alaska to Texas to Washington, right there in your backyard, Antonio. So how does this happen so quickly globally? I mean, the global reach of that information was spread so fast. How does that happen that quick? Is this globe that interconnected when it comes to alien technology?
I think, first of all, when you mean interconnected globally, are you talking about how these people are communicating? Or
I'm talking about governments worldwide within a matter of a two-week period, that kind of information spreading globally. Is it amongst governments around the world, are they all so interested that there's something to this? If it was just the U.S., if it was just Australia, if it was just China, was interested in this type of technology, that'd be one thing. But to spread globally to just about every single country you can throw a stick at?
And then this is like what conspiracy theories we're talking about, is that if this did exist and there was mutual agreements or cooperation among all these countries, then, you know, you're right. If, let's say, for example, China or North Korea or the Russians were cooperating with Americans or the Canadians or Australians, you would think this type of cooperation will require so much security compartmentation, and for there to be no disclosure, or for somebody just to come out and say, you know, okay, here's all the documents, here's all the photos, and real stuff, not these cheesy things that you see online. Don't get it why we haven't seen that stuff yet. I get your story. I believe your personal experience. But where is it? If people involved in this type of stuff, are they that dedicated? You know, people say, or they come out with these secrets in their deathbed confessions, or if I was to talk about this, I would get murdered, or I would disappear. I don't buy that stuff. You know, like you said, there's a lot of patriotic Americans out there, and on the other spectrum, there are a lot of patriotic people that, if they knew about this stuff, they would be just like you and I. Why are we hiding this stuff? Why are we telling the American public? Here it is, Fox News. Here it is, CNN. I don't know why we don't see that. You know, it's so many things. Watch TV 24 hours a day, and there's people spilling guts left and right about, you know, leaks here and there, you know, from Fast and Furious and all the way to the White House. And why is somebody that's credible, you know, a four-star general, still on active duty, walk out of the Pentagon in uniform and say, here it is, guys. You know, I'm tired of the secrets. The world's got to know. And I just don't know why we don't see that. You know,
so you're crazy if you do that. That has been the deal from the very beginning, is you're a nut if you believe in anything that's extraterrestrial or UFO, which, you know, I support what you're doing because it's educating people on the fact that, hey, 99% of the stuff out there is not alien, it's probably a drone, it's probably a military device, it's going to be man-made, nine and a half times out of ten, Antonio, I believe that, but...
Of course, they come out a month. If they were even half, they would be all over the place. You'd have ETs walking around downtown all day. Yeah, you're right. I'd say 98.5%. Yeah, it's man-made, natural phenomena, hoaxes, you name it. It's that 1% that I'm really working.
And it's that 1%, I think, that possibly there could be some credibility to, because you're not, it's going to be hard even for an alien race or a race of aliens that have the technology to travel that kind of distance, whether using multidimensional devices, they know theory and they're able to do this, time-space warping and, but it's going to be difficult for them to even do that. Even if they are highly advanced, it's just not going to be easy. And it's not like they're going to have a big bus zipping around the world like a satellite with people looking out the window on vacation, aliens on vacation. It just isn't going to be like that.
And you brought up a great point, and that's why we investigate from a nuts and bolts perspective. We look at what the object was reported, and that's what we concentrate on. We don't worry about how we got here, or who got here possible, or was it a different dimension, or what type of propulsion did they use. We want to look at the report, the object, what does it look like? You have a picture, can you draw it for us? What did it do? How did it move? You know, those type of things, you know, that concentrate on. Was the witness credible?
Time travel is impossible. It might be a different dimension. Or which race is it? Because apparently there's more than one race. That to derail us. You know, different. There'll be too many rabbit holes for us to try to investigate.
Yeah, and that's the problem. All the rabbit holes. Don't you agree, Jeremy?
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask one specific question really quick. With your history with Homeland Security and the Department of Defense, now I know the way that you do investigations is you do it very professionally, and I know that you have maintained your credibility, but was there any kind of gaffing or any kind of that with the people that you used to work with when you took on this field?
Even today, I'd go into office, we have a good laugh about it, but my colleagues, at the Pentagon now support what I do. They show interest in it too. You know, we're all professionals at work, but we all talk about it. We're all like, wow, do aliens exist? Where are they coming from? And we talk about other things, paranormal, the Bigfoot, all that kind of stuff too. We had all sitting around like yesterday, all of us professionals here defending our country, but we still all have our little hobbies or our little interest in whether it's science fiction or these type of topics.
If you were to come upon a case that really, really blew your mind and that had some incredible evidence that was just not deniable, like what you say exactly what you're looking for, if you were to come upon something like that, would you be able to use some of your connections there in the Pentagon or with the Department of Defense, or do you think that if you came upon something like specific, like say you found something that had some other strand of DNA in it, just something ridiculous off the charts that there's no way that you could test for yourself, do you think that they would be on top of that and try and shut you down, or do you think they would try and help you and it would still be yours?
Even venture down that road. Personally speaking, if that did happen, if I came across a case or a situation like that, more than likely, I would contact and get together as many people from professional, like the universities, the scientific organizations.
Getting opposed to the government directly.
The media, obviously some media, and first, and I would disclose it that way. I would make sure that as many people as possible would know what we have. Prior to me going forward with government. I mean, there's no law telling me if I found flying saucer, I turn it into the police, right?
Absolutely.
Or to the FBI. I would not do that because they would cover it up or they would try to hide, the people, not government first.
Right. Absolutely.
What's the hottest UFO sighting, in your opinion, right now in the country? Where's that at? Where's the hot spot?
Well, that's a great question, but obviously, when you look at UFO hotspots, they're also based on population density. So California, Texas, those, and maybe Arizona, those are the biggest hotspots. And that's not saying that that's where all the UFOs are at. That's just because more populated.
More people are able to see them, right.
Interesting.
There's more people, so there's more people that are looking up, so to speak.
If you go on to MUFON or any of these websites and look at the hotspots from an alphabetical order, you can tell the city most people are the biggest UFOs hotspots. And then you look at D.C., where it's a very highly restricted airspace. There's almost no UFOs.
Does the government request from you information on the people that you investigate their claims?
No. There's a line working for the government and my personal life. Do aerial phenomena, that's aerial phenomena. When I go to work, I don't even do full research while I'm at work, just like at home. Personal. When I do checks on people, it's all, open source research. I don't do anything illegal. Nothing clandestine. I don't do any surveillance on them. It's all open source public information. No, I have not gotten government attention thus far saying, Antonio, why are you looking into this person?
Antonio Paris is probably in my opinion, one of the leading experts in ufology in the United States, if not the planet, at this current day and time. He believes in what he does. He recruits people that are serious, and they believe in what they're doing. It appears that he's a trustworthy person to bring your case to. If you're somebody that you've seen something, or you know where something is and you buried it in your backyard, don't call anyone first. Call Antonio first. Call him first. Don't worry about calling the Air Force or calling anyone else. Call Antonio, because he stated right here on this show on Check 6 Paranormal that if he has hard evidence, that he will make sure that it is properly dispersed so that we the people can get a hold of this information and we the people can deal with it.
Thanks, buddy.
Antonio Paris, we appreciate you hanging out with us on this Halloween, and we appreciate the time that you spent. We know that you went over and that you're a very busy person. You've got so many followers on Twitter and on other social networks. You've got people calling your hotline all the time. I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, you're busy. We'd like to talk to you again sometime. That'd be possible?
Sure. Online, you guys have my email, you have my cell phone, you have my Twitter account, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing as well, and I'm definitely going to listen on the 31st.
All right, thank you very much, Antonio. You have a good day.
Everybody, thanks.
Thank you for clicking in and listening to Check 6 Radio, the paranormal show that has your back. Paranormal.